chapter 6, and then before we begin, I need to do a couple of
administrative things. First of all, we still have a little more undecorating to do for Vacation Bible School, and when do we want to do that, Ms. Dahlman? August, right? Let me put it this way. How many of you could help Ms. Dahlman undecorate for VBS? Raise your hand, please. Okay, there's two or three or four. Good. If you'll see her after the service, and y'all can pick a time you want to do that. And you can't do it Thursday because Thursday is Cassie's birthday. Unless you came here and had a party, and then, hey, all you need is a cake, right? You got it decorated. Second thing, Penny Jacobs will be arriving in town Friday evening. She's flying into Mesa, she needs someone to pick her up in the evening at 6:30. And the good news is you can take the 202 around the backside of the mountain, and it's still about a 45-minute drive. But if anybody wants to pick her up, would help us with that, if you'd let me know after the service, I'd appreciate it. And we had a good week in VBS. How many of you are tired? My hand is up. Yep, it was a long week, but we had a good week. The Lord blessed. We had at least half a dozen or so saved. Had some good, good visitors and prospects, and praise the Lord for that. And now let's look at Matthew chapter 6. One word jumps off the page right away. And I always ask myself, why did God say it that way? He could have said something else. Why did he say it that way? And would you agree with me that God always says it the best way? That's why I think you need to have the right Bible, because if you got a Bible that doesn't say it the way God said it, then you haven't got a Bible that says it the right way. And God said it a certain particular way here in Matthew chapter 6. And there's a word right here. It's not the first word in the verse, but it's the most important one to start. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. And then he says this, our Father. Our Father. He could have said, my Father, that would have been right. But if you and I think of my Father, probably the first thing we think about is the man that raised us. Now, I didn't have that privilege. I was adopted. I have no idea who my Father was. But I've got a Father in heaven. Amen. And God gave me a man on this earth who adopted me. Gave me his name, gave me many, many things that I received from him, my mannerisms and my upbringing, and he took me to church and I got saved. So that's a pretty good father, amen? If you got a father that leads his children to the Lord, that's the right kind of father. God gave me those things, but Jesus didn't say, my Father. He said, our Father. That's interesting. If you're saved, you have the same Father Jesus had. That gets kind of exciting when you begin to think about it. We're going to see why in just a minute. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. Have a word of prayer. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and you know our heart's desire right now is that you'd allow us about half an hour to just hear plainly from the Word of God, to see what you have to say to us. We want to see things clearly, understand them. We'd pray that you'd keep us from any distraction or anything that might stray our mind away from what you want to say. And I ask your Holy Spirit to intervene and work in our hearts. I pray that anyone here that does not have Jesus as their Savior, that anyone here that cannot say, God is my Father, that when Jesus prayed our Father, we have the same Father he had. If there's anyone like that today, please open their eyes to the truth. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the Census Bureau, I told you earlier, estimates 18 million children growing up without a father in our nation right now. You say, well, what's the problem with that? 85% of children and teens with behavioral issues come from a fatherless home. 70% of adolescents with drug and alcohol problems come from a fatherless home. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from a fatherless home. But too often, and so sad, there are homes that have a man and a woman, but the father is not performing his responsibilities as God gives them. And God knows what it means to be a father because he's a father to us. So now look at the Lord's Prayer. We call this passage the Lord's Prayer. That might be a misnomer. It's really the model prayer, but that's a moot point. The fact is, it's a prayer that Jesus taught that we should look at as an example of how we ought to pray. I look at this, and I can see the pattern for a godly father. I can see the pattern that God gives us, and I can see a pattern that we can emulate, that we can use to properly raise our children. And it's a very obvious pattern. When you see it, it'll make quite a bit of sense to you, I think. So let's look at that pattern just a little bit. There are some things that God does in this passage. And he begins in verse 9. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I cannot go further without commenting on that. The name of the Lord is precious. It is not to be taken in vain. It is not to be abbreviated OMG. It is not to be used without proper cause. And so much so that in this time when Jesus taught these disciples how to pray, when he said the name of his Father, he paused and he said, "That is a holy name." You have a Father who is so holy, his name itself deserves reverence. He is sinless. He is pure. The Bible tells us so much about him that I haven't got time to repeat, but I will give you some good things. Number one, he's merciful. He's loving. He sent his Son to die and pay for our sins. He's gracious. He gives us things we do not deserve. He is a father that is the perfect example of what a father should be. And so I'll show you four things from the psalm that portray what a father ought to be. They're very obvious, and I think you'll remember them easily. They all begin with the letter P. And the first one is, God is a pattern. Pattern. Something to reflect upon and to be like. He says in verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ praying says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." He used the word holy in verse 9. He says that he has a kingdom and power and glory in verse 13. Folks, God has a will. It is a good will, and it is a will that you and I should desire to please. Later in John, Jesus made a comment. He said everything that he did was pleasing in his Father's sight. An earthly father, and I'm thinking about the man that raised me, his name was Jim. First name was actually Raymond. And he was born in 1922. He served right at the very tail end of World War II. And he was one of those fellows on an aircraft carrier that when the plane lands and it's on fire, he runs up and puts the fire out with a fire extinguisher. That was my dad's job. He only did that for about 6 months, and the war ended. And then when the war ended, he came back to the States and he became a welder. And he was a welder most of his life. And he never taught me to weld. I really regret that. I wish he had. He was a very good welder. But he taught me a lot of things. He was a pattern in, for example, I knew, there was no doubt about it in my mind, on Sunday morning, we were going to go to church. Why is it so quiet? Amen? In fact, every Sunday morning, I can't think of a time it ever failed, we got up, we went to Sunday school. He took me. I was an only child until I was 10 years old. And then when my sister was born, he took us to church every Sunday. And that happened from the time I can remember until I graduated from high school and went off to college. Now, I had a newspaper route, and 6 days a week I delivered papers. And one of those times was Sunday morning. And my dad said, "Sure, you can keep the paper route, but you've got to be done in time to go to church." So I'd get up at 4:30 in the morning, ride my bike to the end of the street, pick up a big bundle of papers, barely get them back to the house, roll them, put them in two baskets on my bike, and then ride my bike around the neighborhood, delivered 84, 80 or 85 papers on a Sunday morning. And I did that 6 days a week, all month long, made $30 a month doing that, and was glad to have it. A pattern. My father gave me an example to go by. And he is in heaven with God now. That's a good example. Oh, folks, wouldn't it be so sad? And some of us, I'm sorry, may have this situation to have a father who's not yet saved. Praise God, I know. I get to hug my dad again. I get to say thank you to my dad again. The most memorable event that I can think of that just pops into my mind in my life with my dad was I was going to college, and it was the end of the either Christmas or Thanksgiving holidays. I was getting ready to get back in the car and drive back to school, which was about an eight-hour drive, and it was in the afternoon. And my dad never had a lot of money. He hardly had any money. Drove old cars, lived in old homes, and stuff like that. But when I went off to college, I got scholarships, and so he couldn't have paid for my school anyway. But as poor as he was, one night I was getting ready to go off to school, and I was getting ready to get in my car and drive off, and he walked up to me and he opened his wallet and emptied it and gave me everything in his wallet. It might have been $25 or $30. But I just knew something. My dad was willing to give to me because he loved me. And folks, God is that same kind of pattern to us. He loves us, and he's willing to give to us, and it shows us the way we ought to teach our children and the way we ought to be for them. Amen? God's a pattern. There's a second thing here, and it is, I'll use the word perjure, but let's just explain it in verse 12. God forgives. Aren't you glad God forgives? He says in verse 12, Jesus, as he prays to our Father, says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Folks, God's willing to forgive you. The devil doesn't want you to think about that. The devil loves it when he's got you convinced that you can't be right with God. The devil loves it when he's got you convinced that it's hopeless, that you've done too much, that you're too bad, that you're too ornery, that you're too contrary to God's will, and it's too late. Folks, it's not too late. I guarantee you, look at the pattern again. Look at the example. Any father here today would tell you, no matter what their child has done, if their child was to come to them and say, "Father, forgive me," you know we'd forgive them. We ought to, amen? I know I would. We love our children, and we want what's best for them. We want to be right with them. And if a child came to me and said, "I'm sorry I offended you, please forgive me," I'd be glad to forgive them. Your Father in heaven is the same way. Don't make the mistake of not going to him and asking for forgiveness. The Bible says in 1 John that he is faithful and just. It says if we will confess our sins, and that doesn't mean to a man or to a priest, that's crazy. If we'll tell God, "I know I've sinned against you, please forgive me." The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no reason anybody in this room could not walk out these doors 100% right with God. If you would, it's up to you. He's ready to forgive. He's a father that forgives. In fact, he is so ready to forgive. I haven't got time to preach the Old Testament to you, but if you understand something, we saw the holiness of God already, hallowed be thy name. The Old Testament is full of the holiness of God. And the holiness of God is at such an extent that a payment had to be made for sins. And it had to be, according to Hebrews, a payment made with blood. It had to be sinless blood. It had to be blood that had never, ever been sinful, never had any inherited sin, never had any performed sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born, the Bible makes it very clear, the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. The Holy Ghost is not a physical entity. He is a spiritual one. He came upon Mary, and the Bible says she was with child of the Holy Ghost. It was not a physical event. It was a spiritual event, and yet she had a child. And there was no earthly father. Joseph wasn't the father. There was no other father. The father was God. Now, many, many years later, scientists studying blood found something out. The very first child that is born gets his blood or her blood from the father. And that blood does not intermingle with the blood of the mother. That blood miraculously somehow, when God forms that child in the womb, and God forms children in the womb, when some wicked doctor interrupts that process with a scalpel and chops them up, that's wicked. That's not what God intended. God formed that child in the womb, and the blood in that child came from the Father. I somehow have the very same blood that came from the Father that on earth that I had. I never have met the man, but I've got his blood. But Jesus didn't have a father on earth. Where did his blood come from? His blood came from God. His blood, sinless, pure, the blood of God is what it took to pay for your sins. And we all know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, very important word there, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave his Son so you could be forgiven. In fact, I'm going to get too complicated here, so you could be adopted into God's family. Just like my father adopted me, God adopted you. So he's a pattern. He is a purger. Now it gets exciting. It's already exciting. It gets better. Look at verse 13. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I choose the word protector. All of us have seen little children, and they're very good at getting themselves in danger quickly, running out in front of a car, or reaching up and touching a hot stove, or spilling something on themselves, or they're very good at that. And folks, we're the same way. When left to our own devices, we're very good at getting ourselves in big trouble. He says, lead us. That's an interesting thought. Just like God is willing to be your provider, your protector, your purger, the one that forgives you, he's willing to lead you. Are you following him? Why would anybody choose not to follow God? Don't you think God knows what's best? Don't you think God takes you to the best places? We just sang the psalm, Psalm 23. Do you remember the earlier part of that psalm? He said, he leads us beside still waters. You have a God that can lead you. Now, I understand, and I talk to some folks from time to time about this. It's not always easy to find God's will in every situation. But a lot of the time it is. And when it's not, I think God's just hoping that we draw a bit closer to him, pay a bit more attention to him, maybe obey him a little bit better. I mentioned it in Sunday school. Sometimes people want God's will, but they're not willing to do what they already know. God's already shown you some things he wants you to do, and you're not willing to do those. Why should God go to the trouble to give you any more right now? Maybe you need to learn these first. But folks, God's willing to lead us, and he will protect you, and he will keep you. And we sang the song, and we talked about having hope. We read the psalm and talked about having hope. If our hope is in God, what that says is, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know that when I get there, God will be there with me. And I don't know how God's going to deal with the problems that I have and how he's going to help me, but I know he is. He's a father. That's his role. That's his job. Now, there's one more thing here, and I just want to kind of drop it in here in the middle and at the end, and we'll be done. Look at verse 11. We've seen how he's a pattern. It says, thy will be done. He will show us. We've seen how he's a purger. He'll forgive us, our protector. He will lead us. I like this last one just as much as any other, I guess. He is a provider. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I suspect right now, probably everyone here has some kind of plan for lunch. Who all is going out to eat at lunch today? A few? Okay, I'll try to get done quick, okay? How many of you have something at home ready to eat? Okay, yeah, we do too. Okay, or close to it anyway. We probably, everybody here, I hope, I trust, I think, I strongly suspect, you've got provision for the day. You say, Pastor, why should we pray for our daily bread? I've already got it. Have you ever had a case where you didn't have it? We don't need to trust God for next year. He'll be there. Trust God for today. But folks, God provides for us. Tremendous, tremendous statement that David made in Psalm 37. He said this. He said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Isn't God a good provider? And do you realize he doesn't just give us what we need, he also gives us some of the things that we want. You're going to step into eternity and look back on this earth, and you're going to realize, you know, God took care of me every day of my life. He was there. The times when I got in trouble is when I walked away from him, not when he walked away from me. He was a good father. Been about 10 years now, maybe a little more, that in a little town up in Montana called Shelby, my father stepped into eternity. His name, as I mentioned to you, was Jim. He had Alzheimer's and got sick. They put him in the hospital. He caught pneumonia and he stepped into eternity in his 80s. And when he stepped out of this old, worn-out body that he lived in for 80-some-odd years, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He is with his Heavenly Father now. One day, if you're saved, you and I will be as well. Amen? Reunited with our loved ones. I know we've all got different stories. Some of us had different kinds of fathers, not always the best, but God delivered us and took care of us one way or the other. But let me speak just a minute to the handful of us, and there aren't that many, that are here today that still have little children. Or children just, you know, in the home still. Do you realize what privilege God gave you to raise those children for him? And just like we read in the psalm a while ago, and just like we saw when God talked to Abraham, God said, you know, I know something about Abraham. He's going to raise his children right. And folks, today, if you have children, raise them for God. Don't send them to church. Bring them to church. Don't let them do what they want. Teach them to do what God wants. Don't be an example that they can't follow, be an example that they must follow. They're going to follow you. And they may not always do what's right. They may make some decisions that aren't what they ought to be. But I can tell you this, if you'll be the kind of father God wants you to be, God will reward you for that. There's no doubt about it in my mind. If you do not do that, you're taking something that's so precious and you're misusing it. God gave you that choice to be a father. Don't waste it. Don't misuse it. Don't forget how much responsibility there is with it. I have a picture of my son Tim when he was about 7 or 8 years old. And I look at that picture. I've got a picture of my son Zach, same thing. I shouldn't exclude my daughters. I have two daughters. But for some reason, that one picture of my son, he's got a cowboy hat on. He's got a little rifle, a little toy rifle. He's wearing Western shirt and some jeans. I think he has boots on maybe, and he's got a big smile on his face. 7 years old maybe, 6 years old. I look at that picture every now and then and I think, you know, I would give anything to go back and relive those days. Those are wonderful days. Enjoy the time you have as a dad. But then yesterday, a little before I came to church, about 9 o'clock yesterday morning, I was getting ready to come to church and heard the front door open. My wife was at work, so I knew it wasn't her. It was my son. He came in. He gave me a gift for Father's Day. Brought my ladder back, praise the Lord. Said, Happy Father's Day. Folks, it's a blessing to be a father. Look at it that way first and foremost. And then remember this. It's a blessing to God to have us and to be our father. He's blessed by that as well. Don't let him down. Don't hesitate and cease to follow him. Don't quit trusting him. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He does forgive you. And he will give you a good life if you'll simply follow him and live for him. And anytime you choose to live another way, you're disappointing him and you're making things worse for yourself. We have a Father in heaven, amen? If you're here today and you're not saved, and I know that word sometimes confuses people, so let me explain it very clearly. The Bible says this, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says Jesus became sin for us. He took our sins upon himself, and that we will ask him to, he will give us his righteousness. If there is a day in your life that you can think of, a time, not a process, a time when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, realizing he died on the cross to pay for your sins, he was buried and rose again the third day, he paid the price for your sins. If you can tell me, Pastor, I know, I remember doing it, I asked Jesus to be my Savior and I trusted him to be the complete payment for my sins, then you have a Father in heaven. If you haven't done that, the Bible says you have a father called the devil. I sure like my Heavenly Father, amen? In fact, I love him for who he is, for what he's done for me, and for what he's willing to do. And just like any other child, I'd be a fool not to listen to him, not to obey him, not to walk with him. Let's be a blessing to our Father in heaven, amen? Let's all stand and pray.